All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. You know, I was trolling all the way through Twitter today, and I'm just wondering once again, where in the world is Joe Biden? As a matter of fact, where in the world is Kamala Harris? I mean, this is where we are in the middle of an election season. We're in the middle of a campaign, and they're not even present. Have you noticed this? I mean, it's really weird. I mean, it really is an odd thing that Kamala Harris is nowhere to be found. I mean, we're what, 2 days past? The debate was on the 10th, right? So today's the 12th.
Yep.
We're like 2 days past. I mean, there's no news. There's no campaign stops. Tim Pond is nowhere to be found. It is so weird. I mean, again, this is just so odd. If you're as old as I am, 55, no, 56 now. And I remember all the elections going back to, I remember when Jimmy Carter got elected, actually. I mean, I was only in like second grade or something, but I remember. But then the elections that I really remember start with Reagan, especially the second one. But anyway, I mean, it was all over the news. It was everywhere. I have not seen one Kamala bumper sticker yet.
No.
Not one. Okay. I mean, my neighborhood, I'm counting them up now. I live in a very small area. It's at least 3 Trump signs, 0 Kamala signs, 0 Kamala bumper stickers. I mean, absolutely nothing. And the woman's nowhere to be found. I mean, listen, I check on the left. I didn't do any whole lot of leftist checking today, but because they're still all wrapped up in the debate and everything else. But anyway, obviously I'm following multiple hundreds of sites on Twitter, and not a thing. I mean, it's really, really odd. The season that we live in. I mean, it really is. Trump's everywhere. Kamala's nowhere. And yet they still want us to believe that she's going to win a free and fair election. Let me say, everybody in the chat right there at the bottom, Kathy1684 is on. Why Not Me is on. Mike Griffin is on. Dana59 is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Ron John Boogerman is on. Swethy's on. Lisa Kinzer 1960 is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Becklin 60 is on. Moto WR something or other is on. Neon Widow is on. 11 Car 111 is on. Wilbur's Bud 1 is on. Ralpha 9821 is on. Stefa Toms is on. Sun Gun's on. Christopher Arnaz is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Hassle Free TV is on. Hands Lake Donovan is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Pitrock 68 is on. Patriot of the North is on. Nisi 20's on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Love you guys. Appreciate you being on. 692 people on right now. Like and share. Like and share. Like and share. Get this out to as many people as you can. If you're watching on any other platform, switch over to Rumble. Support. It's up to you. You know what? I got to leave it. If you're on Twitter, which is X now, stay on there because you know what? Elon's doing a great job. If you're not watching on X or Twitter, switch over to X or Twitter and watch us live. Of course, we're also on locally, Christian Television Network from Fort Myers, all the way up to Sarasota. All right, let's hop right into this. Aaron, you can just play this first one for me. This was the last one on the pregame, and I just wanted to go over the just stark difference here, and we're going to break this one up, if you're all right, Aaron, with this. We're going to break it up, and just I want to run it from the beginning, watch Kamala and Joe come in, and just to set, you know, the table for this, this is on 9/11. They're going in to meet with firefighters. And let me just tell you this. There's no better group of human beings to meet with than firefighters. You're like, Tom, weren't you a cop? Yeah, I'm just telling you, firefighters are easy to deal with than police. So, I mean, there's no better group to meet with. These are, you know, people who are involved in 9/11, are championing 9/11, maybe family of 9/11 people, but all firefighters and everything else related to it. So let's look at the difference now. When this is the sitting president of the United States and the leading Democratic Party, well, really the person running for the Democratic Party presidential nomination, well, not nomination. She is the now nominee for the Democratic Party for the Democratic Party for president. Kamala, so you have the sitting president and the woman running for president as a Democrat walk into the room. All right, switch back to the beginning, guys, and all the way back. Make sure it goes all the way back and then run it for me. Look at this. Nobody even looks at them. Does everybody understand how... Look at Joe. Look at Joe. He just look at Kamala. She doesn't know what to do. Nobody's getting up to greet these people. All right, go back again, guys, for me. Just go back. Yeah, whenever, just click it back. I mean, this is the oddest. Again, these are things that I've never seen before in my life. Even if Hussein Obama walked into this room, people would be getting up to greet him. Look at how weird this is. Yeah, you guys are doing great. Just keep rolling it back to the beginning for me. You're like, Tom, get over it. I can't get over it. This is the weirdest thing. This is quiet. Look at the lady. She just turns her back on him. This is the sitting president of the United States and the woman running for president of the United States in his stead. Look at the woman right here. Watch. She turns and looks at him. Look at her with the water bottle in front of her and just turns back away. Whoever does that? You're like, why? Well, I mean, you might be like, Tom, can you explain it to us? Yes. They have absolutely no human dignity. The president of the United States, Kamala Harris, they're bold-faced liars. These are all, just pause it for me just a second, guys, right there. Just pause it. These are, and then we'll run it again. These are people with no human dignity. They're sitting in the middle of a bunch of middle-class people whose lives they have drastically negatively affected. These people, I mean, a lot of these people are younger. They want to buy a home. The homes now in America, the average home cost in America, brand new home cost, not an average brand new home. I always say that wrong. The average home cost in America is over $400,000 a year. When they took office, those two idiots right there, when they took office, the average home cost was still well into the 200s. Now it's over 400,000. Groceries are up 30 to 100%. Gasoline is up 70%. And on and on we could go with costs. A lot of these people have been drastically affected by, depending on where this is, whether this is Pennsylvania or whether this is New York. I know it's not D.C., so it's either Pennsylvania or New York. They have been drastically affected by the southern border invasion of our country. So when these two clowns walk in, usually the presidency of the United States carries with it some gravitas, carries with it, you know, some measure of energy, some measure of respect. These two morons have managed to lose that, all of it, in 3.5 years. It's really 3 years and 8 months. Just easier to say 3.5 years. They've lost all of that, the prestige of the presidency of the United States, damaged horrifically by Hussein Obama, brought back to life by Donald J. Trump, and then completely destroyed in 3.5 years. Where you can walk into a room full of heroes. And they, I mean, look how awkward Kamala is. She doesn't know what to do. It would be like me preaching at an art church, turning their backs because I'm preaching the Bible and hellfire and brimstone. They would want nothing to do with me. Look at her. She doesn't know what to do. Roll it again for me, guys. She doesn't know what to do. Look at her. She is so awkward. Nobody even gets up. Look at the guy just staring at her. Nobody's even communicating with her. She's not moving her mouth. Either Joe Biden. Nobody is talking to these two people. Nothing. Look at it. Yeah, no, we'll just say no clap. No acknowledgement whatsoever. Okay, now roll it all the way to Trump. Now let's look at the stark difference, shall we? Look at these two idiots. They don't even know where to go. They don't know what to do, but put sheepish, stupid grins on their face. Look at this. Now Trump walks in. You're telling me Kamala's going to beat him in an election? These are all polls, folks. These are all polls. And look at the MAGA hats in the room when it spans across the room. This is a poll of middle class America. By the way, they can say whatever they want, but us in the middle class, we make up the biggest voting bloc in America. Look at the MAGA hats. Look at them talking to Trump. Look at Trump talking back. This is a multi-billionaire who's having a conversation, a very easy conversation, with a man who's probably never made over $100,000 a year in his life. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. My entire career at the sheriff's office, I never made over $100,000 a year. That was 25 years, 1992, 2017. But Donald Trump, he's fine, he's perfectly fine. Multi-aristocratical Manhattanite. Look at him just easily communicating with everybody. Laughing, joking. Do you see any of this interaction between Kamala and Joe? They stood there like two zombies. Two zombies, they didn't know what to do. I just had to go over that. You can bring it back to me. I just had to go over that because it was absolutely startling to me, and I didn't want to just lose it in the pregame. It was just that right there just absolutely riveted my soul when I saw it because I'm like, man, the president of the United States, the sitting president of the United States, and the woman that's running in his stead, the Democratic presidential candidate, both walk in the room, not to mention the president and the vice president of the United States walk in the room. Mm-hmm. And they're completely ignored. Imagine, now understand, these events, when you're dealing with our incompetent Secret Service, they're planned days and days and even months and weeks in advance. Everybody knew Kamala was coming. Everybody knew Joe was coming. Everybody knew Biden was coming. And nobody even paid any attention to him. That one woman, that to me is wild. That to me is wild. That you would, like, you're standing there and you look back and you see that it's Joe and Kamala. You just turn back. And Joe, when you see Trump walking in, they're like, here he comes. He's here. He's here. And everyone jumps up and claps and is happy to see him. Then he interacts with him. Joe and Kamala never said a word the entire time they're sitting there. They didn't know what to do. I wonder if they just circled their way out. Mm. I wonder if it's like almost like a hangar and they just went out the other way. Got the photo op done and got the heck out of Dodge. All right, enough on that. So back to the debate for just a moment. I had to show this to you because it's just hysterical. Watching CNN turn on ABC. It's really funny. Whoa, Kyle Becker video. Whoa, CNN just hammered ABC News. Play for me, Will.
Vice President Harris began the debate by punting the first question on the economy.
Do you believe Americans are better off than they were 4 years ago?
So I was raised as a middle class kid. And I am actually the only person on this stage who has a plan that is about lifting up the middle class and working people of America.
It went on from there. Despite the economy being the number one issue facing the country, the sitting vice president generally reverted to talking points about a few of her policy proposals. Even Harris allies today are saying that she needs to talk more about what she will do for Americans if elected. Senator Bernie Sanders will be here in a second to talk about more about the need for her to fill in some of those blanks. On the border, another vulnerable issue for Harris, she also dodged.
Would you have done anything differently from President Biden on this?
So I'm the only person on this stage who has prosecuted transnational criminal organizations for the trafficking of guns, drugs, and human beings.
Okay, that wasn't the question. When asked how she would break through the Israel-Hamas war stalemate, Harris said this.
We need a ceasefire deal and we need the hostages out. And so we will continue to work around the clock on that.
Okay, but again, how?
What do you do about the hostages in Gaza? Some of them still Americans. We need the hostages out. Thank you, Kamala. Wow, that's riveting. And suddenly, you know, it's so weird because Aaron was just commenting on it. Jake Tapper has these lucid moments. And when he does, man, he's good. Yeah. I mean, it shows you what God's called you to be in comparison to what you are, Jake Tapper. Because God's called you to be somebody, you're somebody with a big brain, you're a smart person, which you could be in comparison to being a capitulating ankle grabber that you are. So, see, let's go back to front. So Kamala Harris is asked, what are you going to do to get the hostages back that are being held captive on the Gaza Strip? We need a ceasefire deal and we need to get the hostages back. That was her answer. This is the woman running for president of the United States. Her answer to getting the hostages back is we need to get the hostages back. How are you going to get the hostages back? We need to get the hostages back. This is the woman who's running for the presidency of the United States. We need a ceasefire and we need to get the hostages back. How are you going to attain the ceasefire? Can you give us one step of how you're going? Give us step one, two, and three of how you're going to attain a ceasefire. That's the question. How are you going to get the hostages back? We need a ceasefire and get the hostages back. What are you talking about? Then number two, go three, two, one. What are you going to do about our wide open border? And here's her answer. I'm the only one who's prosecuted transnational criminal organizations. Okay, what's that got to do with the border? Nothing. Absolutely zero. Even CNN is jumping ABC News' case for not pressing her. And here's the thing. I don't think anybody should press anybody. I don't think the moderators should be pressing them. Again, I'm sticking with my original point. They're moderators. They are not interrogators. They're moderators. You and I will fact check them. Mm-hmm. And then they should fact check each other. They should fact check each other. You and I fact check them, not the moderators. We'll fact check them as time goes by. We'll decide. And they fact check each other. Mm-hmm. That's how it's supposed to work. But since we're already in the game, and the new game is that the moderators are attack dogs solely to the right-wing contestant in the debate. So ABC News, what's Jake Tapper? Why is Jake Tapper having a lucid moment? Sadly, it's not because he's come alive with integrity. The reason why he's having a lucid moment is he knows that she came across as a buffoon. What are you going to do about the hostages in Gaza? I think there needs to be a ceasefire deal and we have to get the hostages back. What are you going to do about an open border? I'm the only one who's ever prosecuted transnational criminal organizations, which, by the way, she's never prosecuted one transnational criminal organization. Not one ever in her life. Not one. So you and I are the ones that fact check the people that are in the debate, not the moderators. But since Jake Tapper is going to be an attack dog and attack ABC, I'm going to jump on board with him. So then on the economy, she's asked, simple question. Are you telling Americans that they are better off now than they were 4 years ago? That's a very easy question. That's a yes or no. That's a yes or no question. Do you, Kamala Harris, presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, are you saying to Americans that they are better off now than they were 4 years ago? If it was me and I was espousing what she espouses, what she says, her policies are, you know, the best thing for America, then wouldn't you simply say absolutely? Wouldn't you just simply say absolutely? You have to be better off. After our three years and 8 months of gloriousness, you have to be way better off. But did she answer? Here's her answer. Kamala Harris, asked by David Muir. Are Americans better off than they were 4 years ago? Her answer is, well, I was a middle-class kid. What is that? See, the reason why Jake Tapper's upset about it is because he knows she came across like a moron and he wanted her to win big. That was her problem. That's his problem. Of course, it's also professional jealousy. Now, I'm going to run this video for a minute or two. I just wanted to show you something here. It's a Ryan Savitra video. These are independents. This is one of those sliding graphs that they react. You sit there the entire debate and you're pushing buttons, reacting positively or negatively to whatever the candidates are saying. And now in this graph, you'll see it go up and down. Obviously, blue is Democrat. Red is Republican. And watch the yellow. Watch the yellow, because the yellow determines. Listen, let me make sure everybody understands what I'm saying with this. The yellow will determine who wins this election. I don't like saying that because it has a tendency to make candidates like Trump pander to the middle. You should never pander to the middle, because you can win solely and completely with your base if you get your base out. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But for this election, the yellow is going to determine who wins this election. Watch who the yellow tracks with. Play for me, Will.
So Donald Trump has no plan for you. And when you look at his economic plan, it's all about tax breaks for the richest people. I am offering what I describe as an opportunity economy, and the best economists in our country, if not the world, have reviewed our relative plans for the future of America. What Goldman Sachs has said is that Donald Trump's plan would make the economy worse, mine would strengthen the economy. What the Wharton School has said is Donald Trump's plan would actually explode the deficit. 16 Nobel laureates have described his economic plan as something that would increase inflation and by the middle of next year would invite a recession.
It's a great plan. It's a plan that's going to bring up our worth, our value as a country. It's going to make people want to be able to go and work and create jobs and create a lot of good, solid money for our country. And just to finish off, she doesn't have a plan. She copied Biden's plan, and it's like four sentences, like run, spot, run. Four sentences that are just, oh, we'll try and lower taxes. She doesn't have a plan. They had the highest inflation perhaps in the history of our country, because I've never seen a worse period of time. People can't go out and buy cereal or bacon or eggs or anything else. The people of our country are absolutely dying with what they've done. They've destroyed the economy.
So my values have not changed, and I'm going to discuss every one of the, at least every point that you've made. But in particular, let's talk about fracking because we're here in Pennsylvania. I made that very clear in 2020. I will not ban fracking. I have not banned fracking as Vice President of the United States.
So this just shows you right there, right where they're at. See that? Independence tracking. She starts talking. They follow the Republicans. We're going to win this election if it's free and fair. Now, they're registering illegals like there's no tomorrow. But then you have guys like Greg Abbott, like state of Alabama. Need to do more here, Ashley Moody, again, AG for the state of Florida, to cleanse these voter rolls. And there's another state, too, that I'm leaving out. But anyway, I like to give due credit where credit is due. But you see right here, when she's talking, they're tracking. This is every independent. Every independent is tracking with Republicans. This is not split. Look at, I mean, right identical with Republicans. It's over. This election is over. Listen, you better get out and vote. It's not over. You don't vote. We'll lose. You don't vote. But I'm just telling you, it's really over, but it has to be free and fair. And it was stolen big time. I mean, Trump won in a freaking 10, 11 million vote landslide. I mean, Joe Biden, if he broke 60 million votes in 2020, I'd be shocked. And Donald Trump got a solid 74 million votes. Those were all legit votes. But so we're going to win if it's a free and fair election. This shows you that right now. So that's just, the fire station alone shows you that. There's no way that this woman wins the election if it's free and fair. And I thought this was a very poignant graph to show us. This just lets you know that even independents, people in the middle, people listing left, listing right, they're with us. All right, let's go to the next thing, Will. Real Mac Report tweet. Breaking, this is the problem right here. Election officials warn that widespread delivery problem. Okay, Aaron, you help me out with this.
Okay.
Just chime in. If something pops in your head, chime in, because I need to understand.
Yeah.
You know how I need to understand. Yep. Aaron says to move on, forget it, let it go. I need to understand. How in the world would they know there's going to be a widespread problem in September? I mean, help me understand. Do you have anything? I know you don't. I don't expect you to say anything. I'm just like, election officials warn that widespread delivery problems for the U.S. mail could disrupt voting in the U.S. presidential election. Aaron, let me fact check me. What exact day is the election? Is November 5th?
I think so.
So I don't sound stupid. Like I already did, but I already said the wrong date, if I did say the wrong date. You guys throw it in the chat right now. If you know the election date, put
November
it in the chat.
November 5th.
It is November 5th. There you go.
Yep.
So today is September 12th.
Yes.
Now look at the date on this. This was put out yesterday. So the post, USPS, they knew about this, let's say, a week ago, whatever it is. So we'll just say in September. So September, October, November. So about 2.5 months out, you know there's going to be a delivery problem? How do you know that? How exactly do you know that? Election officials warn that widespread problems with the U.S. mail system could disrupt voting. Now, you know how you don't disrupt voting with widespread USPS problems is to not vote via USPS, is to not have mail-in balloting. If you don't have mail-in balloting, you take out a complete chunk of what could be the problem. Again, you wouldn't have to worry about an election being disrupted by widespread problems with the mail system if you didn't have mail-in ballots, which you shouldn't have anyway. Which, by the way, congratulations to all the people that caved to COVID because you set this system up. Mm-hmm. You thought that you were going to be wise. You thought you're going to be wise. And you thought you were being compassionate. But actually what you were doing was setting up your enemy to defeat you. That's exactly what happened. All right, let's go to the next one. Travis video. I just had to show you this. I'm just going to run it for 25 seconds. This is San Francisco, California. Department of Health. This is Gavin Newsom's California, who if it wasn't for DEI, he'd be running as a Democratic nominee for president right now. That is San Francisco, California, Department of Public Health. This is a Department of Public Health employee or NGO hire. Handing out, I mean, the only way to say it is drug paraphernalia. Play for me, Will.
You got pipes, bubbles, everything. No, I don't want one. I'm all right. You got pipes, bubbles, You got the whole works, huh?
You got to keep these people safe.
You got to keep them safe. Yeah, okay.
You got to keep the... And you can look that up more. It's a Travis video and watch the whole thing. The guy is handing out... The only thing he wasn't handing out that day, the person asked for hypodermic needles and he wasn't handing those out. He said he didn't have any. Handing out bubbles and handing out whatever. I don't even know what the drug paraphernalia is anymore. But anyway, this is the end result of Democratic Party politicians. This is the end result of Democratic Party policies. You have either an NGO hire or a city employee, a public health employee, going into the inner city, handing out drug paraphernalia to drug addicts, helping them to die of fentanyl poisoning. Get the whole big picture. So the Democrats import the fentanyl. Americans die, 100,000 of them per year, die of fentanyl. And the Democratic Party that imported the fentanyl gives the drug paraphernalia to the people ingesting fentanyl to die. That's Democratic Party, the ones that also commit 2 million abortions a year in the United States of America. God is watching. God is watching as you kill people, as you sex traffic kids across the border. God is watching. As you traffic drugs across the border and then give people the needles and the paraphernalia to smoke it or ingest it or inject it into their bodies. That's the Democratic Party. This is the hub of Democratic politics in the United States of America. Right there, San Francisco, California. Right there. This is where whenever they want to challenge anything in court, they go to that 9th district. In San Francisco, California, to challenge this. They always get the court. They always get, you know, blue judge, blue jurisdiction, my whole spiel. That's what they always do in San Francisco. That is the hub. I'm not going to harken back to last night's substituted title. How can anybody be a Democrat when that is the result of your policies? It's not the result of my policies. You know what the result of my policies are? Grandmas standing in front of abortion clinics, singing how great thou art, and handing out tracts about how you shouldn't get an abortion. Of course, they end up getting arrested by Merrick Garland under the FACE Act and Christopher Wray and imprisoned for years. And the person handing out, you know, call me crazy. I wish I had my Florida State statute book in my hand right now, because it's illegal in the state of Florida to be in possession of drug paraphernalia. In the state of California, they're handing it out to the drug addicts on the street. I arrested people for being in possession of drug paraphernalia. Now, I'm not saying, I'll make sure that everybody understands what I mean by that. If it's clean paraphernalia, that guy is not committing a crime, just so everybody knows. Clean paraphernalia has to be directly linked to drug use for you to arrest them for possession of drug paraphernalia. It has to be right next to drugs, have some drugs on the inside of it. You have to be able to pin it to it. So that guy's not committing a crime, just so everybody knows. But just again, in the realm of absurdity, we used to arrest people for drug paraphernalia. Now the cities under Democratic Party rule, under Democratic Party jurisdictions, are handing paraphernalia out to the people dying of the drugs that they're now enabling them to inject. That's a sad state of affairs. Hopping all over the place tonight, doing some quick hitters here. Flat out just tired of talking about Kamala, to be honest with you. But my next section, after I get past all these slides, if I get past them, I believe I will. Just we're ending at 10:01 tonight. 10:01. Mm-hmm. Aaron's laughing. And yeah. Will's laughing too. 10:01. Made the commitment last night, trying to shorten the show. If anything, 10:01. I'll give myself. You know what I'll do tonight? I'm going to do a special. You can place your bets now. 10:01 to 10:04. That realm. So that in case I ramble on last time, that'll be it. Mm-hmm. So we only got 25 minutes to go. 25 minutes to go. No all right. Way. Aaron says no way. You can put your. All right. So here we go. All right. Sherry video. This I'm jumping all over the place, but this was so good. This was so good. Thomas Massie speaking. Congress paid out $17 million in sexual misconduct, but listen to his logic. Play for me.
You know, Congress has paid over $17 million in hush money for sexual misconduct inside of the offices in these buildings. And what's more is that was taxpayer money, right? The allegation is that President Trump paid $130,000 of his own money. But here in Congress, there may be some on this dais. I mean, I'm for turning loose all of these records. Who in here has had the taxpayer pay for their sexual misconduct charges, the hush money? I bet there's some over there. There may be some over here. I don't know, but I do know it's taxpayer money, and I do know not a single penny of it has been turned in as a campaign finance expense. Is the FEC going to investigate the $17 million that the Congress has paid to settle, behind closed doors these sexual misconduct allegations?
I wonder if that includes the most recent one where they had two men were having anal sex inside of a congressional meeting room on Capitol Hill. I wonder if any of that's been paid off yet. Mm. Now, Trump, on the other hand, has to pay $130,000 or paid $130,000 to Stormy Daniels, right? Now, again, I'm not going to go through the whole story, although it all is rattling in my mind right now. Stormy Daniels came out with a public statement and said that she never had sex with Donald Trump. There was never an affair. She put out a statement. We put it on the show, signed by her, put out by her, acknowledged and admitted by her that she put it out. She's now, of course, said that she was lying when she put out her own statement. That's somebody you can always trust, right? Somebody who actually puts out a memo and then says I was lying when I put out the memo. And, of course, according to Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' prior attorney, remember that. This is Stormy Daniels. This is her attorney, which I've never said, by the way. Avenatti was Stormy Daniels' attorney for like a couple years. He says that it wasn't Donald Trump that was having an affair with Stormy Daniels. It was Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney, who organized the ransom payment. There you go. The hush money payment was orchestrated probably by the guy having the affair with the woman, right? But Donald Trump designated it as a personal expense. Wouldn't it be a personal expense? I mean, you're like, Tom, you've already hashed this out. I know, but it just gets to the root of the corruption here. So Donald Trump puts it down as a personal expense, didn't hide it from the tax man, didn't hide it from the IRS, put it down as a personal expense. Wouldn't a hush money payment to a porn star be a personal financial deal? Wouldn't it be a personal financial arrangement, right? Wouldn't it be personal? Put it under personal finances. Now, he was charged and arrested and found guilty on 34 felonies because he put it down as a personal expense instead of a campaign expense. No, Tom, you got that backwards. No, I didn't. That's exactly what Trump was arrested for, tried for, prosecuted, and found guilty of 34 felonies for, is because he put it down as a personal expense instead of a campaign expense. Now, if he would have put it down as a campaign expense, imagine what Bragg and Colangelo would have done with that. So you're like, how would he ever win? You can't. But in Congress, the very people loving and laughing, the very people all the time, Trump's 34-time convicted felon. He's a felon. He's a convicted felon, right? Over and over and over again. How many of those people have had their own sexual indiscretions paid off or hush money payments paid for? Now, Trump paid it, his $130,000. Where did that come from? Donald Trump's personal bank account. His own personal bank account. $130,000. Where does the $17 million in sexual misconduct payments come from? Your and my wallets, your and my bank account, comes from our tax dollars. You have congressional men and women paying off people for sexual misconduct settlements using our taxpayer dollars to the tune of $17 million so far. And those same people want Donald Trump prosecuted for paying off Stormy Daniels $130,000 in a completely legal transaction of $130,000 for hush money. Imagine, just imagine, this is the country that we're living in right now. It's just unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. All right, change the subject. Stay on that one all night. I'm not going to do it. So many things I could say about Mershon and everything else, but I'm not going to do it. All right, Visegrad 24. I'm jumping all over the place right now. Israel has released a video, and this is riveting stuff. It's about 2-3 minutes long. Of where these hostages, of course, the American that just got executed by Hamas. And again, let me just lay the groundwork because it's all kinds of different opinions, all kinds of different stances when it comes to Israel. This is where I stand when it comes to Israel, just so you know. Obviously, I choose Israel over Hamas. I would hope everybody would. Does that mean that I think Netanyahu is the second coming? Absolutely not. Do I think Netanyahu is even decent at this point? I do not. Certainly better than the leftist political, they have a parliamentary system, so it's all kind of a leveraged deal as far as you get 20%. Like, Trudeau only got 20% support, but he's the prime minister of Canada. It's the same thing with Keir Starmer in Great Britain. He got like 17% support, but it's a parliamentary system. It's a proportionality government of a bunch of parties coming together, and you form a government bringing parties together. But I digress. So I'm just saying that, do I even believe that 10-7-23 was simply Hamas on their own? No, I believe Iran was involved. I believe the CIA was involved. I believe the Mossad was involved. Just like all of these different organizations are involved with making sure the Ukraine war happened. But again, just like I was talking about with 9/11 last night, we need to recognize the innocent victims of these wars. Okay. And Will just popped in my head. Okay. Will went and fought in Iraq. He didn't know the politics. He's a Marine. He was sent to fight in Iraq. Will and his friends, and he lost friends over there. And we have other warriors in this church, lost friends over there. They're the innocent victims. They went and did what they were supposed to do. Many of them have PTSD, everything else from surviving the horrific things that happened over there, happened to them, that they saw and everything else. We need to celebrate those people because they're innocent. Same thing with the hostages and the rape victims. The people at the music festival, they're not thinking about Mossad and the CIA and all those things. So that's what I'm talking about here, just so you know. So just don't send me messages like, Tom, you know, Israel isn't perfect. I know Israel's not perfect. Either is the United States. Listen, right now, we are a swampy, CCP-controlled cesspool right now. That's the United States of America. We can get the paddles on it, get 4 more years of Donald Trump. We weren't that when Donald Trump was president, but we have been for a long time. But during the 4 years of Trump, we were back. We were back, baby. We need to get back again soon, November 5th. But anyway, so this is about the innocent victims, the hostages. You know, again, it doesn't matter really where you stand. Has Israel gone too far in the Gaza Strip? I think in some circumstances they've gone too far. But on the whole, if you rape and you kill 1,400 people in a day, you fly over on paragliders, again, how in the world do you actually circumvent one of the most technologically advanced air defense systems on the planet with paragliders? I don't know. A little suspicious how that was like down and allowed them through. And again, I know all that. But these are innocent victims. We have Americans that are still being held hostage. Get this now. What is the Biden administration doing about it? Remember Kamala's answer from the debate? I want a ceasefire and I want the hostages freed. Cricket. That's her answers. This is how these people have been living for almost a year. Play for me, Will.
Into the tunnel. This is how Hamas built this tunnel.
The shaft goes down about 20 meters into the ground, using 4 separate ladders. There, it connects to a narrow tunnel with no rooms that is so low you can't stand up straight in it. The tunnel is about 120 meters long and ends in a blocked iron door. This short blocked part of the tunnel is where the hostages were held and murdered.
We know that between 2 to 6 terrorists were here with the hostages. We are gathering all the stuff here for forensics, for intelligence. We can see magazines, an AK-47 magazine, chargers, all by the used by the terrorists, Quran books, a hairbrush. We need to check who used it. But there were women here in the tunnel. This is their blood. This is the blood of Hirsch, Eden, Carmel, Uri, Almog, and Alex. They were heroes, and they were here in this tunnel for weeks or days, we will find out. But they were here in this tunnel in horrific conditions, where there is no air to breathe, where you cannot stand. And they survived, but they were murdered by terrorists. And they're still hostages, 101. Some of them are alive in the same conditions, in tunnels like this, in Gaza. And we need to do everything we can, in all the means we can, to bring them back home alive. Why murder innocent people, women, young men. They were all in the music festival, and Carmel was at their home in the kibbutz. Why murder them in a tunnel after they survived 11 months in horrific condition? We pray and think in our hearts and minds, and we will keep on doing everything we can, everything to bring back home all the hostages.
I mean, have you ever thought about it? Living like that for 11 months. 11 months. What did Joe and Kamala do? Slept like babies at night going to their little parties in D.C. Joe, I mean, Joe's sitting on the beach doing nothing. Yeah, I mean, tell me. I mean, I mean it right now. You can send it to me in the chat. Send it to me. Send it to Aaron. I'm looking in the chat right now. Give me one thing that Joe and Kamala did. Maybe you're a leftard and you're watching right now. Go on to Rumble right now. Jump into the chat and you can send it to me. Tell me what Joe did when he was sitting on the Delaware beach at Wahoboth Beach. While these people are living, Aaron, if you can side by living like this, that's their blood. Those are the executions that were just done. That's where they found the bodies, right here. That's the blood. Tell me what Joe and Kamala did over the last 11 months of Americans, well, at least one American living like this. There's 101 hostages still living like this right now. And what have Joe and Kamala done? What have they done about the Americans that are still in Afghanistan right now? They've left Americans there, about 200 of them. What have they done? Anybody know? I mean, outside of ex-Navy SEALs orchestrating their own flights, being threatened that if they do it, they're going to be prosecuted. Besides that, a long time ago now, 3 years ago now. Besides, what has Joe Biden done with them since they left them in Afghanistan? Nothing. What has he done with these hostages? Nothing. Remember, these are the innocent people. They were taken hostage. They were at a music festival. Some of them were in their houses, in their own safe rooms that they built were violated by Hamas. They're pulled out, raped, and brought in these tunnels. Don't talk to me about Israel versus Hamas. There is no comparison, folks. Israel does not rape people. Israel is not perfect, but they don't rape by the thousands every year. They don't do that. They don't throw homosexuals off of a five-story building. You may believe, as I do, that homosexuality is sin, but if we're going to kill people who are sinning, then every one of us is going to be thrown off a building. So, I mean, please. I mean, the thing is, if you don't repent of your homosexuality, you're going to hell. But you're the same thing if you're a heterosexual man who's watching porn. You're going to the same hell as a homosexual. Please understand that. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, Revelation 21, 8. Read it for yourself. But my question is, what is the Harris administration doing right now to get these people back? What are they doing? She's talking about how everything's going to be great when she becomes president. She's president for all intents and purposes right now. She's done nothing. She talks about how prices are going to go down. She's going to close the border. She suddenly wants to build a wall. You can do all that right now. Get the hostages back. What are you going to do? There's a way to get these hostages back. How much you want to bet that if Donald Trump was in charge, the hostages would already be back? Yeah, would we all agree on that? We all know this war never would even happen. Hamas wouldn't have dared, and Hamas couldn't be financed because Iran funds Hamas, and Iran was bankrupt. They couldn't have funded. They couldn't have funded 10/7. They couldn't fund it. They were broke, and they've received $60 billion from John Kirby, from Antony Blinken, from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, $60 billion in fungible funds. They can fund anything they want anywhere, but don't worry, John Kirby. So funny watching John Kirby. What a humiliating figure at this point. A man just who's been completely humiliated and lost all integrity and all dignity in life, Admiral John Kirby, who says, no, you don't have to worry. Yes, we're giving them $10 billion, but that it'll only be used for humanitarian purposes. And then when he's asked, where's the money going, John? He answered, I don't know, and actually went like this. That's how we have the video. That's what he said. You know where it went? Right here. That's where it went. You know, building those tunnels, that may look cheap. That ain't cheap. Talking about millions of dollars to build those tunnels. Where they've kept people for 11 months, and Joe Biden sits on a beach and does nothing. And Kamala Harris cackles from coast to coast, smiling, and obviously taking some sort of drugs and definitely drinking, doing nothing. Amazing to me. All right, switching subjects again, going back to the Trump assassination attempt, Jesse Waters video, alert the Secret Service leader in charge. Weird how this is happening. Michael Plotty, who's in charge of the presidential protection units, suddenly announced his retirement. Play for me, Will.
Fox News alert. The top Secret Service official in charge of presidential protective units announced he's retiring this week. Michael Plotty, who's been with the Secret Service for 26 years, will step aside and sail off into the sunset on Friday with full benefits and honors, despite the fact that Trump was nearly killed on his watch. Sources inside the agency tell Fox that Secret Service officials encouraged Plotty to step aside following the Butler assassination attempt. But publicly, they're saying the retirement's been in the works for a while. The Secret Service should have frog-marched this guy out of the office a month ago. Instead, they're burying his retirement announcement on the day of a presidential debate. Reminder, no one's been fired since Butler. Former director Kim Cheadle resigned under duress. And field agents, instead of getting in trouble, they're allowed to work from home.
Yeah, get this now. Make sure you understand who this guy is. This is the guy who's actually in charge of presidential protection units. So this Butler, Pennsylvania J-13 was directly under Michael Plotty. He wasn't fired. He's retiring with full honors and benefits, full honor, full benefits, get an unbelievable great pension for the rest of his life. And Corey Comparator got his head blown off in front of his family because of him. I mean, again, and I don't want to, and some of you are probably like, please don't do it. I'm only going to say it for a minute. But this is when you go back to J-13 and you just look at the setup. First of all, they had three Secret Service agents there for an outdoor rally of 25,000 people there. Three Secret Service agents. You're like, no, Tom, there was 30 people there. Now, the rest of them were DHS agents who are not trained for protection. You had Trump's detail, yes. And then you had three Secret Service agents on top of his detail. You're supposed to have 30 Secret Service agents there. Jill Biden had 12 for an indoor rally with nobody there. And her security risk is absolutely through the floor. Nobody wants to kill Jill Biden. Nobody. And I'm glad nobody does want to kill her. But everybody wants to kill Trump. And this guy here, again, just remember some of the specifics with this, because the specifics have a tendency to die over time. No pun intended. But we need to remember that they had a 200-yard security perimeter. And inside in this perfect security perimeter, there was a Pac-Man mouth like this in the middle of it. And in that mouth where you had 200 yards and then suddenly this giant 60-yard indentation that included the AGR building where crooks set up. How do you not secure that building above all others? It is the greatest security threat on site. And for some reason, it's carved out and not secured. This is Mike. That's what Michael Plotty did. That's what he did. He was in charge. He's in charge. The sniper team, the CS team, the counter-strike team, doesn't even show up till the day of. And they had already pulled all CS teams off of all Trump events. And how they gauged whether or not the CS teams would respond, CS team is who killed crooks. If the CS team wasn't there, we can talk about all the different theories, conspiracy theories. It's simple, though, right here. This is simple. If the CS team wasn't there, Trump's dead. You mean like people are in on it? I agree. This was an inside job. I'm just telling you, if the CS team wasn't there, Trump's dead because crooks got off 8 rounds before they shot him through the head. 8 freaking rounds. 8 rounds. There was an early shot by local cops, and then the CS team from the Secret Service shot crooks through the head. Immediately they go and clear. There, yeah, put that up, Aaron. I'm so glad. I was hoping you'd catch the hint. How does this happen? How does this happen? The greatest threat to Donald Trump is the area that's left out of the security perimeter. They actually go out of their way to make sure it's not secured by putting a Pac-Man style mouth, 60-yard indention into the security perimeter. And this guy retires with full honors? What? Full honors, full retirement. And nobody's been fired. The person who drew up this plan is not fired. The person who put in the Pac-Man mouth, that has not been, that person has not been fired. They're all still working security details, by the way. Credit Dan Bongino. The people that ran this have never been suspended and are on security details as we speak. That's the status of the Secret Service. Remember Secret Service that I put out yesterday? Who put out, we had 2,997 minus 19, whatever. I don't remember the specific numbers. But they, the Secret Service, put out on Twitter, remembering those who we lost on 9/11, and they included the 19 hijackers in their death total. That's the Secret Service. They did this too. Right here. They did this. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I? Western Lensman? Oh, this is an epic takedown. Epic takedown right here by Tim Murtaugh. Western Lensman video. This is an absolute demolition of a CBS fake news propagandist by Trump advisor Tim Murtaugh on election security and weaponization of justice. Play for me.
Trump has been saying on Truth Social just yesterday or a couple days ago that he wants to prosecute people that are acting nefariously in the election, already casting doubt about this election and still refusing to accept the results of the last election. Why?
Well, I mean, first of all, the premise of that question sort of presupposes that certain people are okay with people breaking election law. And I don't really think that's the case. If people break election law, they should be prosecuted. Anything wrong with that.
They are prosecuted.
Certainly. So why is this such a controversial thing? It's something that we should all agree on.
But talking about extending it to legal, other legal teams, to donors, it suggested the idea of prosecuting political opponents.
If you're going to ask a question about someone prosecuting political opponents and don't mention that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's Department of Justice are currently, at this moment, prosecuting Donald Trump, then it's not an honest and forthright conversation. They are currently, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Department of Justice are currently engaged in a prosecution that could end up with them trying to sentence Donald Trump to jail. The way you ask that question, it's though that's not even happening. But it is happening. And I think once you arrive at the conclusion that none of these charges
would have been... Those are not directives of the Justice Department.
Who is in charge of the Justice Department? Is it an executive branch agency? Who leads the executive branch? Who appoints the Attorney General? The Attorney General is not part of the Constitution as some sort of independent officer. The Attorney General is a member of the executive branch over which Joe Biden and Kamala Harris preside. That's inescapable.
Imagine how incoherent you have to be when you are a CBS News fake propagandist like that woman. And you're saying what her concern was is that if Trump takes power, he's going to prosecute his political opponents. I'm just letting that sit in for a moment. When Steve Bannon is currently in prison, Peter Navarro just got out of prison, and Donald Trump is facing 700 years in prison. And imagine sitting there. I mean, again, I don't know, Aaron, you can help me. I don't know how, or Will, you can even help. It doesn't matter. I don't know how to put it into words. How do you sit there? How are you so devoid of consciousness or so devoid of integrity and dignity that you're sitting there saying that Donald Trump is going to do what the current administration is currently doing?
Yeah.
I am so worried that Donald Trump is going to prosecute his political opponents. Murtaugh's like, basically, are you freaking kidding me? And then the woman goes, it's not Biden that's prosecuting Donald Trump. It's the DOJ. Well, who would be prosecuting Biden then under Trump? The DOJ, you stupid moron. The DOJ is run by the Attorney General, obviously, who is a member of the executive branch under the President of the United States. Merrick Garland is following the orders of Joseph Robinette Biden because he works for him, just like Eric Holder followed the orders of Hussein. And I said, Aaron brought this up for me. I had to show this to you because I was rattling on and on about it. So I want to show you this, what the Secret Service did yesterday. The Secret Service, yikes, Chuck Ross tweet, yikes, Secret Service includes 19 hijackers in their death tally. The flag hanging at our headquarters is in solemn reminder. So there, the Secret Service is having a flag hanging ceremony to honor the fallen of 9/11, of which they include the 19 hijackers. The victims were 2,977. They put it down as 2,996, which includes the 19 hijackers that killed the 2,977. That's how incoherent these morons are. All right, 10:01, but I said till 10:04. I get myself a little window. All right, who wants me to go longer? I got some Kamala stuff. I got some Kamala stuff. 1,000 people are watching. 1,088 are watching. Five more minutes. Five. Everybody good? Five more minutes. We'll do five. We'll do five. Five more minutes. Max. Maximum of five. All right, Stephen Moore tweet. 2019, Kamala Harris rolled out, just so you know, everyone knows where Kamala Harris stands on everything, her Medicare for All proposal. This is where she, this was 2019, 5 years ago. A plan that included for more than 11 million illegal immigrants that she was going to cover. Now, since that time, we've added another bare minimum of 20 to 25 million illegals. So imagine what the cost will be, because at the time, the cost was going to be $44 trillion. What would it be now? It would be her, this is who's running for president of the United States as a Democrat. Right now, she is the Democratic nominee for president of the United States, wants to add $44 trillion to our debt, which is $9 trillion more than our total debt right now. And this was 19. So this would at least go up by a third. So it would be about $60 trillion now under her plan. She's running for president. I mean, where do they, what floors me is sawing off the limb that you're sitting on. That absolutely floors me. Absolutely. It's as if you are hanging over a cliff but with a rope and you're cutting your own rope. Kamala, does she not understand that if you continue to print money, because all we're doing right now is printing money to pay debt, that eventually your dollar means nothing too. Your stocks mean nothing too. That's what I always want to say to Mike Johnson. As right now, they're in the CR portion of I have a great Thomas Massie video that I haven't gotten to yet. But right now, our Congress is in the CR portion, continuing resolution portion of our annual budget fighting time in the fall, where they CR it until right before the first of the year. They see our continuing resolution, and then they put another omnibus package together. Again, the Biden-Harris budget for 2024 was $6.8 trillion of spending with $5 trillion of taxes coming in, putting us another $2 trillion in debt, about another trillion every 150 days at this point. That's their budget. Does Mike Johnson not understand, because he signed the last $1.7 trillion minibus plan that paid for Planned Parenthood, that paid for transgender surgeries and every other left-tard policy initiative. Does Mike not understand that when my dollar becomes worth nothing, his dollar becomes worth nothing? His dollar becomes valueless when my dollar becomes valueless? The moment that my dollar is now worth nothing, his dollar is worth nothing. Does he not realize it? And if you keep on with these bills like this, that we're all bankrupt, including him, including Elon Musk, and Billy Gates, all of your billions and hundreds of billions of dollars that you have, if the U.S. dollar is meaningless and worthless, all of your wealth is meaningless and worthless. The moment that my dollar becomes worthless, your dollar becomes worthless. How do they not get it? I honestly don't understand it. How you can be up in Washington, D.C. Who's going to pay your Secret Service protection when the dollar becomes meaningless? Who's going to pay for it? You think the Secret Service is going to work for you out of the goodness of their hearts? No, everybody would be starving to death too, because the dollar has become worthless. There is no currency. 40 to 50% of our currency currently in circulation was printed by the Biden administration. Let's go to the next one. James Playcart video. Is it video? Yeah, video. Oh, yeah. This is just, to be honest with you, I just threw this in. It's not directly related to Springfield, Ohio, but it shows you that the essence of Springfield, Ohio is 100% correct. Two illegal Honduran migrants are arrested after shooting down a bald eagle that they plan to eat. Play it for me.
Migrants are now being accused of killing a bald eagle in Nebraska with plans to cook it for dinner. The sheriff's department says these are the rifles they used to kill it, but federal authorities let the suspects go after charging them with misdemeanors and are no longer returning to the returning the sheriff's car.
Mike Unger is the sheriff of Stanton County working this case. He's here now. This is one of those stories, Sheriff, that you got to like reread it. Like, am I reading this right? Did that say bald eagle eating it? From a sheer symbolism perspective, can you get a more stark example of an attack on American sovereignty and all that it means to be American than the killing of a bald eagle?
No, I can't. We find this very alarming, I'm sure, nationwide, but locally it's been very alarming to the citizens.
Think that based upon the facts of this case, killing of our nation's symbol, illegal immigrants, the feds, you think they would prosecute something like this? Yet nothing. What are they doing about this case when you've tried to reach out to them?
I have tried numerous times, and I have yet to speak to a human at the Nebraska field office in Grand Island and the regional office in Colorado.
So you said they're hampering your from you doing your job. Is it just because they're not answering the calls?
Well, they're not answering the calls, and I think there's an uproar, at least again locally, that they have not taken action federally. It is a federal violation to kill a North American bald eagle.
So to be clear, in addition to not responding to your calls, you're not aware of them doing anything outside of dealing with you on this case at all?
I am not.
The people in the community, I know.
That's
this.
Good. I just wanted to show that to you because it shows that there are some odd things going on with what migrants are eating inside the United States of America, including cats and dogs and ducks in Springfield, Ohio. Just wanted to show you that it's not the only place that it's going on. There's lots. I could spend 3 hours a day, 5 days, 7 days a week on what migrants are doing as they're dumped in all of these towns across America by Biden flights. The Springfield, Ohio, they had 56,000 people living there, and basically overnight get 20,000 Haitian migrants flown into their town with an average IQ of 78. Flown into their town with no driver's license. All you have to do to get a driver's license, if you're an illegal, is show that you're above the age of 16. That's it. No driver's test, no nothing. And for 45 days, you get a permit. They just hand you a permit 45 days. They're driving all over Springfield, killing people, hitting fire hydrants, running into people's houses. That's exactly what's happening. It really is. That's what's happening. A lot of people don't believe it's happening, like Kamala Harris smirking and laughing, which I went over last night because it hasn't touched her yet. It probably never will. She Doug Emhoff's a multimillionaire. Probably never gonna. She lives behind the very walls of guns that you and I aren't allowed to have. We do have them. We're still allowed to have them, but that she doesn't want us to have. She doesn't want to allow us to have. She wants to make it illegal. All right, breaking 9/11 tweet. Just have to show you this. It never ends. Biden administration announces. Here it is. Look at the date on the bottom. Yesterday, $700 million in aid for Ukraine's energy grid. What do we get? Squat. Ukraine, $700 million for their energy grid, their health care, their education, and their other programs. What about Springfield, Ohio? What do they get? They get Haitians dropped there from Biden flights. The Haitians don't even have to go through the arduous journey through the Darien Gap, through the southern border. They don't have to do that. Biden picks them up in 737s and flies them to Springfield, Ohio. He is flying Haitians in with an average IQ of 78 and then flying out $700 million to Ukraine. And what's Ukraine actually get? Death and destruction. At least 500,000 of their troops, this was some 6 months ago, have been killed. They've lost every single battle. So all the Biden administration is doing is funding Ukraine losing every battle and basically losing an entire generation of young men. They're gone, by the way. They're already gone. They're losing every battle. Do you ever wonder why Vladimir Putin never seems to be sweating this war out at all? Because they never lose a battle, not one. There's no way. So why would you fund a war where the person that you're funding in the name of democracy, which isn't a democracy, is losing every battle and has no chance of ever winning a battle? Listen, it doesn't matter what they send over there. They can send over our most advanced military equipment. They can't drive it, and they can't fly it, and they can't shoot it. It would take them a decade to learn to fly our jets, and that's being optimistic. It would take them a decade to learn to drive our tanks. It doesn't matter. There's no way Ukraine wins. Trump is 100% correct. What do you want to do with Ukraine, Trump? Are you going to say As David Muir asked him last night, who do you want to win this war? Will you say that you affirmatively want Ukraine to win the war? Do you really want them to, win? He said, no, he didn't say no. He said, I want the war to stop because Ukraine can't win. They can't win. Have you ever looked at the size of Russia? Do you know how did Russia beat Germany? How did they beat them? Were they more technologically advanced? See, now Russia is not only has all the numbers, but they have the tech too. Look at the size of Russia. They can roll if they wanted to. They could just arm all of their military, all of their army. And by the way, I'm trying to remember. I think it's credit Alex Jones. Ukraine hasn't even seen their elite troops yet. They haven't seen the Wills. They haven't seen the Marine Corps. They've seen their most basic, no disrespect, but their peasant infantry. That's all that they've seen. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. There you go. Ukraine's going to beat that. Let's send them another 700 million. Leave that up, Aaron. Leave that up for the rest of my spiel. You send them over $700 million to lose more and more battles and more lives and more limbs. To that, Ukraine is going to beat that. It's not going to happen. The entire European Union couldn't beat that. And Ukraine is? Macron can send them all the French. He sends them like 12 F-16s. You know where those F-16s will be in a month from now? A burning rubble or captured by the Russians. It's useless. All that's happening is the Biden administration is funding this war for the political expediency of the globalist left so the IMF can rebuild it, so the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation can rebuild it, so BlackRock can rebuild it, so all of their malfeasance, whether it's Privat Bank or Metabiota or the Biden payments, the Burisma payments to Hunter Biden, and that the Poroshenko-Hunter Biden-Joe Biden meetings can be covered up, burned to the ground. Their ransom payments paid to the oligarchical administration of Volodymyr Zelensky, and they call him a democracy. They call it a democratic republic or whatever they call it. They call it a democracy. It's an authoritarian dictatorship with no opposition media, no elections, and no opposition parties. How are you fighting for democracy? And even if you were, how are you going to beat that? Outside of Yahweh, you ain't going to be there. You're not going to beat the Russians. Aaron's sending me some stats. Current population of Russia, 144 million. Current population of Ukraine, 38 million. Come on. And Russia is one of the very few. We're one of them, but we just choose not to do it. It's like Christians who just choose not to be powerful. But you shall receive power and the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. The Christians choose not to be powerful. The United States just chooses at times not to be powerful. But we are a self-sustaining country. We have all the oil, gas, wheat, farmland, anything. We don't need any other countries, either does Russia. They don't need a thing. They've got all the power they need. They are a breadbasket. They've got all the fuel. What do they need to import? You ever notice that Russian doesn't import anything? You ever notice it? Ever notice that, Aaron? They don't import anything. Yeah. What do they import? Name it. Gas? Nope. Natural gas? Nope. Liquefied gas? Nope. Coal? Nope. Oil? Nope. I mean, give me a break. It's another 700 million for Ukrainians to die. Let me show you this one. Last thing. 5D, me 81 video. What does Kamala really believe on the second? Remember, she said last night, and I was listening to Tucker Carlson talk today. He said the same thing that I said last night. Because, you know, Tucker's just making sure that he watches TLP. I'm just kidding. But anyway, he said, we all found out for the first time, just like we found out that for the first time ever, that Tim Walz's wife got pregnant using IVF. Then she debunked that herself 3 days later and said she didn't get pregnant via IVF. But the grinning, moronic, cackling, moronic, I don't know, there's other names, Tampon, Tim, horse semen, various other descriptions of Tympan, just a completely fraudulent individual who just has no problem, just breathlessly lies without any hesitation and without any measure of conviction whatsoever. But anyway, so we found that. Then we found out that Michelle Obama got pregnant through IVF for the first time ever. Never heard that before. And of course, there's still no pictures of her pregnant anywhere in existence. And then the ones when they finally, when you have a leftist pundit actually post a picture of pregnant Michelle Obama, people like Aaron takes them all of 1 second to say, that's not a real photo. And even me, I'm like, that's not a real photo. That's obviously Photoshopped. Obviously Photoshopped. And then lo and behold, last night, for the first time in history, Kamala Harris says that she owns a gun. But and she says she's not taking away anybody's guns, except for her mandatory gun buybacks that she's called for on numerous occasions. But here's where she really stands on the Second Amendment. This is not the debate from last night, even though it's still it's David Muir, which that should tell you something. They're hosting another. This was a Democratic debate back in 2019. This is her versus Joe Biden. Play for me.
In recent days, former Vice President Biden has said about executive orders, some really talented people are seeking the nomination. They said, I'm going to issue an executive order. Biden saying there's no constitutional authority to issue that executive order when they say I'm going to eliminate assault weapons, saying you can't do it by executive order any more than Trump can do things when he says he can do it by executive order. Does the vice president have a point there?
Some things you can, many things you can't.
Let's let the senator answer.
Well, I mean, I would just say, hey, Joe, instead of saying no, we can't, let's say yes, we can.
Let's be constitutional. We got a constitution.
And yes, we can.
One. We could take everybody's guns. Even Joe saying, no, we can't take everybody's guns. And Kamala's response to Joe saying, we can't take everybody's guns because we have a Second Amendment. I wonder why it is that Joe Biden, remember he put on the Trump hat yesterday? Remember that? I played it in the pregame. Mm-hmm. He actually kept the hat. Wouldn't it be the wildest thing in the world if Joe Biden comes out for Trump and just turns on him? That's what I would do. I mean, you're like, no, you would. Yes, I would.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you right now, they palace cooed me like that. I would turn on him. I'd turn on him. This is where I wish that I could cuss because I would quote Alex Jones. I'm going to eat your. Remember that? You got to watch it. Eat your A. Oh, man, it's a great video. Set the music. Fantastic. But anyway, I would. I'd turn on him. But that's why, because they hate each other. They hate each other. And the Obamas hate Harris's. And the Obamas hate the Bidens. The Bidens hate the Harris's and everything else. Yeah, should put that side by side. There he is right there. Joe's putting on. He kept that hat. He'd walked away with it. He kept it. He kept that hat, just so everybody knows. But she said, Joe Biden's like, yeah, you know what? I would like some common sense gun laws, which he's full of crap too. But we have to follow the Constitution. And she simply replies, Joe, instead of saying, no, we can't, why can't we just say, yes, we can, and just circumvent the Constitution of the United States of America, which, by the way, she says that she's going to do in those various mandatory gun buyback videos also, that she's just going to bypass the Second Amendment, the Constitution, for mandatory gun buybacks, which, by the way, you know, how in the world do you have an active Second Amendment if you have a mandatory gun buyback? Mm-hmm. You don't have a Second Amendment. It be gone. All right, that's it. 10:19. I went a little over. 18 minutes past. Rumble Rants, Fedora, The Explorer, $20. Thank you so much. This is a new one. Black Pit Bull Art. I think that's brand. He's brand new, or she. $21. Thank you guys so much. Really, really appreciate it. I'll be in the chat during the post game. We finished the post game with absolute maximum cuteness. Absolutely maximum cuteness. Now, tomorrow we'll finish the post game with an unbelievable great rock video. I'll leave it at that. If I give you any hint, you'll know what it is. But anyway, yeah, we'll finish. But tonight, we're dedicating it to cuteness. So again, I'm going to tear you down during the post game. And then right at the end, build you back up. All right? Love you guys. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, for 1 hour and 1 minute. I'm trying every night to change. 1 hour, 1 minute of fury tomorrow night. Join us here at 9 o'clock. Love you all. Again, I'm in the chat during the post game. Join us tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you. Those Christians, though, don't pass the test. And instead, they become controlled opposition for the devil. They just change their theology. They didn't pass the test, but you know what? God's just all about being in the midst of our struggles. That's not a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse. God wants you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, not ever struggle. If you do these things, you will never struggle. Those things are really the four essentials: prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship. Well, I tried that. Yeah, you tried it for a day, you tried it for a week, tried it for a month, maybe even tried it for a year. But you gave the devil 50 years and you gave God 50 minutes. I'm telling you right now, if you prayed and studied the word every day, you would never, ever struggle in your walk with God.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to tomlipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.